This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua in New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Thanks for listening today. We know that you're hearing this message for a reason. God has something that He wants to say specifically to you right where you're at. And our hope is that by the end, you're encouraged and closer to Him than ever before. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning at New Chapel? Again, you guys sounded really good during worship, and my name is Colby. I'm the worship pastor here, and my primary role at this church is to lead you guys into worship every single Sunday. And when you participate and when you sing with us, it just makes the moment a little bit more special, and it makes it a little bit more powerful. So I just want to say thank you again for joining us and worshiping with us. Now, our lead pastor, Pastor Joe and Kaya, they are obviously not here today. They are actually out of state. They are at a pastor's conference. And they're learning how to serve us better at this pastor's conference. And I promise you, they really wanted to be here this morning. They wanted to be here so badly. But I am very thankful for pastors who are willing to take focused time so that they can learn how to serve us better and be better shepherds of their flock. So, amen. Give it up for our pastors. Hallelujah. Thank you for Pastor Joe. But I've loved this series so far. We're in the middle of a series called Invader Things, and as you can see from the title, it's definitely a knockoff from Stranger Things. It all started when Pastor Joe and Kaya insisted that Heidi and I watch this Netflix original series called Stranger Things. It's because they know that we're total nerds when it comes to sci-fi and comics and superheroes. It's just me. It's not my wife, okay? But she bears with it, and she tolerates it, and that's all that matters to me. So thank you, honey. But I love how we've used this modern-day storytelling to go over some key truths throughout this series. Now, week number one, Pastor Joe talked about how the enemy was an invader. He talked all about the devil, and he talked about his wiles and his schemes. And then week two, he talked about how fear is an invader and how the enemy of our soul will use fear to erode at us. And then last week, Pastor Joe talked about how the spirit of poverty is an invader. And I love how he talked about the prevailing mindsets that the devil could use to bring us down and the practical steps that we can take in order to overcome those. So if you've missed any of the series at all of our messages are online at newchapel.com/invaderthings. Okay, and all of our messages are on podcast or on the Podbean. So I'm very humbled to talk to you this morning about item number four of what's an invader, and I want you to write this down. Sickness is an invader. Sickness is an invader. I want you to notice this. In Acts 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, what was the oppression of the devil that Jesus healed people of? Seems like a rhetorical question. It says in Matthew 4:23 that Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So Jesus healed all who were oppressed, invaded by the devil, and then he healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So Peter, in Acts 10:38, is actually inferring that the devil is the one who's behind making us sick. And even Jesus himself gives this little detail. There was a woman that he came to who had a hunchback, get it, for 18 years. She could not raise herself up because of this infirmity. And Jesus makes this little note when he heals her. He says in Luke 13, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond? Satan is behind it. Now, I understand there is a reality called germs and viruses and bacteria. And the Bible doesn't ignore these either. Like, when God gave all of those commandments and all of those laws to the nation of Israel, you know, the boring books of the Bible that all of us skip through, They weren't all just moral or spiritual or ethical laws. There were a lot of physical laws because God knew the physical repercussions and the bacteria and germs that are around today. Like, for example, in Deuteronomy 23, there are laws all about relieving yourself. Yes, they did not have toilets and sinks to wash their hands with soap. So when they were to use the bathroom, God commanded them to take a utensil or some sort of shovel so you bury that stuff. All right? God was all about that. And I dare you to read Leviticus 15. Those are laws all about discharges. That's all I'm going to say right there. God is very well aware of personal hygiene and germs and bacteria, but I want you to notice this, that all of these things exist because of the fall of Adam towards Satan. And make no mistake about it, even though sickness has become such a common thing and everyone accepts this, even Christians, they accept sickness as a normal state of being. Make no mistake, sickness is an invader from the devil. All right, it is an invader from the devil. And Jesus Christ wants his followers to know that sickness is an invader. He wants us to know, A, that God can heal everyone. That God can heal everyone. Now, that's not a debated thing. Like, everyone believes that God can. But it is debated what also Jesus wants us to know. That's B, that God wants to heal everyone. God wants to heal everyone. Now, that's the loaded statement. That's where the debates begin. But I'm actually surprised that there are debates over God's will for healing, because there is a scripture that makes it the most clear it's ever been concerning God's will to heal. And it says in Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So there it is, right there, God's will to heal, put on the spot. How is Jesus going to respond? Jesus responds by putting out his hand and touching him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. I just don't think how it could get any more clearer than that. Like, Jesus canceled the leper's if, and he said, I am willing to heal you. So he wants to heal everyone. Yeah, well, that's Jesus, someone may argue. Did you know that Jesus made some incredible statements like, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Did you know he also said that I speak nothing of myself, but I only speak as the Father has instructed me? He also said that I can't do anything by myself, but it's the Father who does the works. So Jesus, in fact, conveyed that everything that I say and everything that I do is God's will. And the fact that he told this leper that I am willing to heal you, he is in fact conveying that it is my will to heal everyone. And can I tell you this, church? He's not a respecter of persons, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But most, perhaps the most profound thing concerning healing that I want you to get today is see, healing is received by faith. Jesus wants us to know that healing is received by faith. See, God wants to heal everyone, but not everyone will build their faith to receive from God. But over and over, I'm talking over and over and over in Scripture, faith is tied to people who received from God. Like it's just a joint thing. To those who received some sort of miracle or some sort of healing from God, they had an element of faith. And in fact, most of the people where it's recorded that Jesus healed, it does specify that there was an element of faith to them receiving from God. Like, I'll give you an example. It wasn't because of Jesus' power. It wasn't because he was the Son of God. He specified that it was because of their faith. There was this one woman. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. Take that in, ladies. Bleeding for 12 years, spending all the money she had to get better on all the physicians, and didn't get one bit better. And finally, she came to Jesus through this huge crowd, and she touches the hem of his garment, because she said, if I just touch the hem of his clothes, I know I will be healed. And this is exactly what Jesus said to her. He said, daughter, your faith has made you well. He didn't say my power that had gone out of me. He didn't say because I'm Jesus. He said, your faith has made you well. be healed of your affliction. There's another instance. It's a man named Bartimaeus. He was blind, and he was crying out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Just making a complete fool of himself because he was confident that if he could get to Jesus, he would be healed. And Jesus came and touched his eyes, and he said to the man, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Not me, not my will, not my power. Your faith is what tapped into it. And you know what? It's interesting to note that Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So faith is a big deal to God. So write this down. God wants me to grow in faith. God wants me to grow in faith. So there's the principle right there. There's the theology. And now I want to go over some very practical steps as to what faith looks like so that you can get into faith and actually fully receive from God. So number one, write this down. Faith begins by knowing the promises in the Word of God. Faith begins by knowing the promises in the Word of God. It says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Let me ask you, what are some promises in the Bible that you know for yourself that you can stand on during different times in your life? Like promises that you can quote, meditate on, and thank God for when you're going through some sort of trial in your life. I'll give you a few for me. Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, and no plague will come near your dwelling. It says that in Psalm 91. It says in Psalm 91 again that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It also says that the Lord says he will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will deliver him in time of trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. He also says that with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. It also says in Philippians 4 that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Those are amazing, amazing promises that we need to take to heart. And that's why we need to get into the Word. Like I am so captivated by the promises of God. That's just a handful, just a few. But there are so many in there that we need to get into our heart. One bad thing about me as a speaker is I love to just pound all y'all with scripture. You know what I'm saying? I want that scripture to go on that screen every single second of the message. And I literally had to delete dozens of scriptures for this message because time wouldn't permit it. Because I'm so captivated by the Word of God. But we shouldn't get into the Bible, notice this, because it has a bunch of rules for us to follow. We all have this mindset, man, I just got to follow what God wants me to do because of all the rules in there. No. I get into my Bible because there's a ton of incredible truths that God has promised for me in my life now. That's why we get into the Word. And I remember my dad telling me when he just got saved, he was on fire for God. Man, he was on fire. And he came across this verse in Mark 11, 23 and 24. When he read that verse, he was like, bro, this is sweet. So he went to his friend Kevin, who got saved just 2 months before he did. He said, Kevin, have you not seen this verse? This is what Jesus said in Mark 11, 23. Is this not awesome? And Kevin's like, bro, I don't even think that's in my Bible. My dad was like, what kind of Bible do you have? He said, I have the NIV. Kevin, it's in the NIV. It's in the NLT. It's in the KJV. And church, I'll even tell you this as your pastor. It's even in that Message Remixed Bible right there. Okay, that's why we need to read the Bible, write it down. I will read my Bible so that I will know the promises of God. I will read my Bible so that I may know the promises of God. So faith starts by knowing, and then number two, write it down, faith believes the Word of God regardless of what I see or feel. Oh, that's so key. Faith believes the Word of God regardless of what I see or feel. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Let me tell you about a story named Abraham. How many of y'all have ever heard of Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. Yeah. Did you know that his name was not actually Abraham? His real name was Abram. And Abram talked with God at 99 years old. He was 99 and his wife was 89 years old. And God told Abram that you're going to have a son. Seriously? Yeah. And to prove it to you, Abraham, this is what God said. I'm changing your name to Abraham, which means the father of many. See, when they named people in the Bible times, we don't really get this now. Some people still do this, but especially in the Bible times, their names meant something. There was a definition, a meaning, and even a story behind every person's name. So the fact that he changed his name to Abraham, everyone in the community knew what that meant. They knew what Abraham meant. It meant the father of many. I feel sorry for the guy named Ichabod. Like, there was a guy in Genesis whose name was Ichabod because God was judging Israel at the time. And when this dude was born, that name means God has forsaken us. Hey, how you doing? God has forsaken us. That's my name. What's your name? Nice, nice. Well, here Abraham at 99 years old took God at his word. He believed God. So he went around and he introduced himself as Abraham. And he believed him, notice this, when he didn't have the son yet. When he had no evidence of there being a son. Because God even specified that the son was going to come through his wife, Sarah, who was 89 years old. But he audaciously took God at his word and he said, hello, my name is Abraham. And I don't care how I feel or what I see. I believe what God said. And I know that I'm going to have a son. I got to read to you what it says in Romans 4 concerning Abraham. It's amazing. It said that Abraham believed God. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. I love that. Since he was about 100 years old, and neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Church, can I tell you something? When he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, God came through and this man had a son named Isaac. Oh, Abraham, it's impossible for you to have a son. It doesn't matter what I see. This is what God said to me, so I believe that is more true than what I see. Abraham, you're 100 years old, man. You can't produce seed. It doesn't matter how I feel. This is what God said to me, so I'm going to believe that is more true than what I feel. Okay, your wife is 90. There's no way that a child can be produced in her womb. It's just as good as dead. It doesn't matter what I see. But what I feel, this is what God said to me, and I'm going to believe that is more true for my life. Amen, church? And I remember when, a couple weeks ago, I got to tell you this, I was as sick as a dog, okay? I have noticed I have gotten more attacked with sickness since I've been on staff at New Chapel than ever before in my life. Like, when Pastor Joe says there's a bullseye, there is a bullseye on our backs. And yes, that is why you need to pray for us. But I've never been as sick as I was a couple weeks ago. I didn't like it. I don't like getting sick, okay? So I'm glad I know about faith and healing because I want to come against that. It was a Friday night, and I puked my guts out. Not once, not twice, not three times. Count them, church. Five whopping times I puked, okay? And can I tell you this? I don't like to throw up. I am one of those people where I want my wife in there, like, rubbing my back. You're good, honey. You're good, you know. My wife is one of those people where when she's like, and I come in, like, honey, you all right? She's like, go away. Go away. I want to be alone. I want to be alone. I'm one of those guys where I'm crying, Heidi. Heidi. You want to know what Heidi's doing? She's in the bed. Can you keep it down in there? Okay, when you're throwing up the third time, all the food is gone in the stomach, okay? It's gone. There's nothing else in there. And can I get a witness? There is nothing worse in this life that you feel in your body than when you are dry heaving over that toilet. Like, there's nothing. Okay, I got to throw. There's nothing in there. There's nothing in there. Why do There's nothing worse. So needless to say, my body was shot. Okay? This is a Friday night. So Saturday, I normally do the Saturday preliminary setup. Like, I come in here for a few hours and I set up some preliminary stuff before all the volunteers come in on a Sunday morning. So at 3:30 Saturday morning, I am texting like 25 people. If you guys can feel it in the bottom of your heart, if you love Jesus and you love me, please help me set up on Saturday. And I had about 10 people. Like, you guys were awesome who came on Saturday. Thank you. Can I tell you this? We set up in 30 minutes. Okay, 4 hours by myself, 30 minutes with a few other people. I have any people who want to volunteer to be on a Saturday setup team? We're setting it up right now. All you have to do is show up. How you doing? I see that hand. But we got it done in 30 minutes. And because we got it done so fast, Bethany, who's one of the vocalists on the worship team, came late. Like, she came when we were already done. So she decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and pray for you, Pastor Colby. Okay, I'll take the prayer. And so she actually gets out oil, you know, rubs it on my temples and, you know, rubs it on my hands and prays for me. Let me tell you something that came to me when she was praying. There was a scripture that I know by heart that I didn't stand on at all. I knew it, but I didn't stand on it. And I decided as it came to me when she was praying, it was Mark 11:24, and it says, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I remember that promise when she was praying for me, so it was actually right then and there when she prayed that I decided to believe it. And so when she was done, I actually told her, I said, Bethany, thank you for praying for me, and I am making a conscious choice to believe this. I am healed in the name of Jesus, and I am going to sing tomorrow, and I'm going to do everything well, do everything excellently. I didn't want to. No, sir, didn't want to. And can I tell you this? When she was done praying, I didn't feel different. I didn't feel healed. I simply took that passage at its word, at face value, and I believed it, and I walked it out. That's what faith does. That is what true faith does. You know, when Jesus was telling all the people that your faith has made you well, he was telling them that you believed before you even saw anything. So even though I didn't come fully healed on that Sunday, I tell you what, you can ask the volunteers who were there that Saturday night. The Colby Cullum on Sunday morning was way different than the one on Saturday. I had an extra boost of energy. And I don't think that was just by rest and coincidence. That was by me taking God at his word. But when Jesus said that, he said, you guys believed before you saw anything. See, it doesn't take any faith for a miracle once the miracle's already happened. The faith happens before it's manifested. So write this down. It doesn't matter how I feel. I believe what my Bible says as more true than what I feel. Doesn't matter how I feel, I believe what my Bible says as more true than what I feel. So, one, know the Word of God. Two, believe the Word of God. And three, church, this is the most important. If you don't get any points today, please get this one. Faith acts on the Word of God. Faith acts on the Word of God. Faith takes what it knows and what it believes and puts it into action. That's what faith does. And can I tell you something? Many times, many, many, many times, Jesus healed people. And even in the Old Testament, when someone received their healing, if there was some sort of prophet or if it was some sort of apostle or Jesus, they would tell the people that they were healing to do something ironically impossible because of what they're healing them of. So many times. There are so many instances where Jesus told someone to act on what he commanded them when naturally that was kind of a stupid thing to tell them. And I'll just pick a couple because there's so many. Like, I didn't pick just the two that are the best scenarios for me. I literally had to do eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by his, okay, that guy right there. And there's one, there was a man born blind, and we're all pretty familiar with this guy. This man was born blind, and Jesus comes to him, and the Son of God, the creator of the universe, hacks a loogie in the dirt. And he creates mud out of the dirt and the spittle. And he takes that mud and he rubs it on the blind man's eyes, okay? And this is what Jesus says to the man. He says to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So how did the blind man respond? Did he respond, hello, you just rubbed mud in my eyes. I can't see and I'm blind. Why would you tell me to go wash? No, this is what the blind man did. He went and washed, and he came back seeing. He acted on what Jesus commanded him. He acted in faith. There's another story where there was this group of friends who wanted their paralyzed friend to be healed. So Jesus was teaching in this house, and the house was so full of people that they could not get to him because of the people in the house. So they went on top of the roof of this house and took a knife and went, and started cutting a hole in a random dude's house. They cut a hole in the house with all this debris falling over Jesus, okay? And they lower their friend right in front of Jesus. And Jesus loved seeing such great faith. And I want you to notice what he said to that man who was paralyzed. He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." What do you think the paralytic responded by? When someone's paralyzed, Jesus, they can't move. Don't you know that? No, he acted in faith. And he arose, he took up his bed, and he went out in the presence of them all. He acted in faith. There's always an action when it comes to how much you believe God. And I'll tell you another story. The founder of our Bible school, his name is Kenneth Hagin. And if you go to our Bible school in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you will see this huge shield. And covering the shield is the word faith. Faith is a big teaching there because this influenced him on a very personal level. This man was dying by the age he was 16. He was totally bedfast, completely paralyzed. He could move his arms, and that was about it. That was it. He had an incurable blood disease. Like, his blood wasn't red. It was like an orange pigmentation. He was on his deathbed. And so him just waiting to die, having nothing to do and completely bored, he decided that he was at least going to read the Bible. He had somewhat of a Baptist background, but never really went to church. So he thought, hey, if I'm about to die and meet my maker, I should probably see what the good book says. Well, he's never read the Bible before, and he sees that there's two halves. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. So he decides, well, I'll just start in the New Testament. That's what I'll do. And when he took that Bible, he told God in his heart, "God, I don't know what's in here, but I will believe everything that I say, everything that you've said in your word. I will believe it." And so he reads the Bible from the New Testament, and he gets to this verse, Mark 11, 23 and 24. This is an amazing verse, and I want to read it for you. It says this, "For assuredly," this is Jesus talking, "I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." As Kenneth Hagin read that verse, he thought to himself, okay, I am healed. That's what it says. I'm saying that out loud. I believe that I'm healed. Believe that you receive them. I believe that I received my healing. Father, I believe that if I've received my healing, that I am already healed. And then this thought came to him. Listen to this. If I am healed, what am I doing in bed? So him, as an act of faith, I mean, it took minutes for him to inch and inch and inch over to the edge of the bed to prove that he believed God and took him at face value and believed him at his word. And when he reached, finally was able to reach the edge of the bed, as he sat up, he said that it was like warm honey just went over his body. And right then and there, he was completely healed. Kenneth Hagin lived to be in his 80s. And he lived a very full, satisfying, and successful life. And his ministry has played a huge role in my life and in my family's. It's amazing. He took God at his word. And then I also want to tell you another story. A few years ago, Heidi and I were coordinators, middle school and high school coordinators at a Bible camp in Cedar Springs. And there was one particular week, it was a full week. There were a ton of kids there, and there was this one girl that was very lively. She was very fun and just very bubbly, and she really got everything out of all the chapels. And there was one particular day where I saw her as we were playing sand volleyball that she was just completely hunched over on the ground, just completely hunched over. It just wasn't the same girl that I'd seen earlier that week. And finally, I went to her, and I said, "Hey, are you okay?" She said, "No." I said, "What's wrong?" And she was just really holding her stomach. And she said, "I've had some sort of stomach issues since I was a little girl." Okay.
do you mind if I pray for you? Yeah, you can pray for me. Okay. So I get another girl cabin leader to come over so I don't put my hand on her stomach, you know, in front of all the kids. And she puts her hand on her stomach. And I just pray a simple prayer. I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that she is healed. She's healed. I rebuke this issue in her stomach right now. It was that simple. I said, do you feel any better? She said, no. Okay. So I said, will you do me a favor and do you a favor? She's like, what? I want you to do something that may hurt a little bit, but I want you to do it. I want you to go find your Bible. Okay? I want you to open your Bible, and I want you to turn in your Bible to Mark 11, 23 and 24. When you get there, I want you to read it out loud. That's what I want you to do. Will you do that for me? And she said, okay. Okay. So slowly but surely, I mean, like nothing happened, as if we didn't even pray, she gets up and she just walks super slowly and pretty much almost stumbles. Like you could tell the pain was serious as she was walking. And then she walked off in the distance to where I couldn't see her anymore. I couldn't follow her because I had a bunch of other kids I had to keep an eye on. And I kid you not, 10 minutes later, this same girl is running to me. She's running. And her face is beaming. I mean, she is smiling so big. She said, Colby, I got to tell you what happened. I said, yeah, you do. Okay. She said, I walked up the steps, and I got to be honest, I was going to go to the bathroom. I was just going to go to the bathroom and just wait it out in the bathroom. And how many for us, like I was guilty a couple weeks ago, that's our natural response. Why is it not our natural response to go to the God who can heal us and actually wants to? It is so much more natural for us to wait it out and just, you know what, I'm going to rest and veg watching Stranger Things. I don't feel good. I'm just going to rest. All I need to do is rest. No, you need to get into the Word. There are some incredible promises. She was going to go to the bathroom, she said, but you know what? I just decided, I'm going to go find my Bible. And she went to go get her Bible. She turned to Mark 11, 23 and 24, and she read it out loud. And she said, I promise you, when I finished reading verse 24, immediately after, I felt better. I felt better. And she came running to me to tell me the news. That's so awesome. That is so awesome. Church, the Word works. Faith in the Word works. Okay, can I just be honest with you? I've mentioned Mark 11, 23 and 24 a few times this morning. That is not some secret amulet verse. That is not some lucky charm that when you're not feeling well, what does Mark 11, 23 and 24 say? That is just one of the hundreds of promises in God's Word that you can pick for yourself and stand on in times of need. When you need to receive from God, you can pick a verse out and stand on it, know it, believe it, and act on it for your life. Amen? That's what the Word does for us. But faith comes by knowing the Word of God. So how are you doing getting into the Bible? How are you doing? I encourage you. There is so much life in that Word. I love it. It is more desirable than gold because the truths in there, that if you will take hold of your life with those truths, they will change your life. So many Christians, their lives mimic the thing of the world. They get as sick as the world do. They're as poor as the world is and all this other stuff. It's not because God doesn't exist. It's because they're lazy and don't get into the Word. It's because they don't know it. And I challenge you to read it so you can know it. You need to go a step further than that, though. You need to believe it. Just take God at His Word. Don't have such religious baggage. Well, I was taught this way. I'm reading this, so I guess this is right. No, take God at face value. God, I'm going to believe what you said more than what I see or feel. I don't feel good, but I know what you said. God, it's getting very dark and grim, but I know what you said. And I stand on that, and I believe that is more true than what I see or feel. And then most importantly, church, you got to act on it. You need to do it. If you truly believe, God, that you're healed, you would do something about it, right? you would do something about it. And if Jesus told you that if you weren't feeling well to do something, let me ask you, would you do it? Of course. Of course you would. He tells us a bunch of ways and a bunch of many incredible truths of things that we can do to activate our faith and receive from God. Because Jesus wants us to know that God can heal you, that God wants to heal you, but you gotta receive it by faith. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity for me to talk to this congregation about this serious invader. Sickness is a serious invader. It destroys people's lives. People don't live the full life that they should, that you promised that they could live because of this invader. Oh, I pray that they get a hold of this truth in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. If you're here in this place and you're far from God, like I said during worship, you haven't experienced the love of God because you've been afraid to approach Him, probably because you know how you behave. You know how your life is. The same faith I'm talking about that receives healing is the very same simple childlike faith it takes to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, not of anything that you do, lest you should boast. And all it takes is a simple faith to have a relationship with Jesus. Perhaps you had a relationship with God, but you haven't been walking with Him and you haven't been getting into His Word like you know you should have. Now's the time. Now's the time to make that important step in your life to give Him your everything. If that's you, I want you to pray after me and just mean it from your heart. Will you do that? Just simply pray after me and mean it from your heart. Church, we agree with what they're doing, so you pray as well. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for saving me. You said in your word, if I call Jesus Lord and believe that you raised Him from the dead, I would be saved. Jesus, you are Lord. You are my Lord. And I know that you are alive. Thank you for saving me. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you in this place, would you be so bold? Everyone's head is bowed and every eye is closed. It's just me looking. Would you look up, make eye contact with me? Okay. Pastor Joe wants to send you something. He really does. If you could do something very, very important for me, when you sat in your seat, you saw that there was a connection card right there. And on that connection card, there is an option that says that you accepted Christ today. This is the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. Will you please check out that box and put it in the offering bucket once it goes by your row? We're about to transition to the offering portion of the service. And when it goes by, you can simply stealthily just put that in there. Would you do that? Go ahead and close your eyes. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the people who have made the most important decision of their life to finally make Jesus not only the Lord, but their Lord of their lives. And now that Jesus is hand in hand walking with us in a relationship, boy, is it easier for us to not be influenced or dominated or overpowered by these different invaders from the devil. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this series. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from New Chapel. We hope that you were blessed and encouraged. You can follow us online at Facebook, Twitter, or go to newchapel.com.